Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Two are better than one. That's a phrase we need to repeat again and again. I want to talk to you today about the importance of community. Together we can do this. Community is found in the book of Acts as one of the hallmark qualities of the church. Everybody is different. You have people with differing temperaments, people with differing ambitions, likes, dislikes. But we are all alike in one way. We need community. Without meaningful relationships, we break down. John Ortberg wrote a book, Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them. He cited a study of 7,000 people who were examined over 9 years. Here's what was discovered. Researchers found that the most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die than those with strong relational connections. People who had had bad health habits but strong social ties lived significantly longer than those who had had great health habits but were isolated. In other words, it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli alone. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and this week we're discussing Go Get It Back. Today, I want to encourage you to get back your sense of community. Together, we can do this. The Christian life is all about relationships, koinonia, fellowship, community. Your walk with God is not just your responsibility. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens in a context of godly relationships. He hath raised us up together. God made us for each other. We are better together than we are alone. It's in John 17, just hours before his crucifixion, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's praying for those who will believe the message, that they all may be one. This is the family of God, the people you attend church with, the people you do life with, the people in your small group, the people gathered here for this devotion. We may not share the same last name, but we share the family name, the name of Jesus Christ. We are of the household of faith. We look out for each other. Solomon was on a quest in Ecclesiastes, trying to find out what really mattered in life, what he could count on, what he could depend on. It's a somewhat mournful book. The optimism and passion of Song of Solomon are missing there. We hear a worldly wise and somewhat weary and jaded king looking back over his life, looking over at life under the sun. It's almost like Peggy Lee's Grammy Award-winning song, Is That All There Is? Do you remember that one? In the song, she speaks the lyrics rather than singing them. She describes a series of disappointments in her life, from seeing a huge building on fire, going to the circus, being disappointed in first love, then finally being saddened with all of life itself. And after each spoken verse, she would sing a secular response to life's disappointment. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, let's keep dancing. But that's a big if, isn't it? If that's all there is. This is where Solomon's Ecclesiastes differs from Peggy Lee's epic song. Solomon found something meaningful in life, a walk with God and knowing Him. But Solomon's starting point was bleak. You read it in the second verse of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity meaning empty, worthless, meaningless. That's how the son of David described his life. Solomon was a long way from God at this point. Nothing seemed to make much sense. He wasn't satisfied with the usual remedies, pleasures, his proverbs, his wisdom, his work, his wealth, his career. Solomon was adrift. Yet by the second chapter, we start seeing him coming to grips with the role God played in his life, that God provided for him. Stretched out the heavens and the earth, permitted him to make decisions and to live out his life. And finally, at the conclusion of it all, he said to trust God and follow God. It's in this book Solomon uses the word better to describe things that matter. And this is where you find this passage in Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one. In four verses, Solomon gives us the four times it's good to be in community. Four times we stay in community. First, in times of need. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's a truth there. It's a proven fact that two can accomplish more than one, except if it's two teenagers. That's a question. One mule can pull 2,000 pounds. Two can pull 18,000 pounds. The sum exceeds the part. It's called synergy. It's why we ally with people to get more done. Where I'm weak, someone else is strong. Where they're weak, I may be strong. So we join community in times of need. Here's the second time, in times of trial. Solomon said, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." You remember the man on the Jericho road, he had someone to lift him up. The lame man at the gate, Beautiful, he had someone to lift him up. The invalid at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus lifted him up. He said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to get there, another gets there before me." It's when you need to be in company in times of trials and troubled times. The third time you need company, Solomon said, is in cold times. If two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? This references the warmth that's found in fellowship, specifically in marriage. It was not good for man to dwell alone. That was the judgment of our Creator. So he made Adam a helpmate, an alter ego. There's a warmth, there's a fire in marriage. I would also say that close friends add such warmth to our lives. We've seen that during recent trials, people checking in on one another, reaching out to each other. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "The best ornaments of any home are the friends who visit there." There's an old poem I like. It says, "Make new friends, but keep the old. Those are silver, these are gold. Friends are like the golden hues of a fire in cold times." Then fourth, in times of war, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. How true that is. Do you remember the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer? They encouraged one another and slew 10 times their number on a half acre of land. Samuel said it like this, "A half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow." Jonathan and his armor bearer were like a yoke of oxen. They worked together, fought together, won together. And as you know, when two come together, God shows up in their midst. Four times we stay in community: when in need, when in trials, when cold times come, and when the battle rages hot. Usually, it's always best to stay in community, but let me just note that there are some exceptions to that rule. There are times in our lives where community should be avoided. When you enter into a season of solitude, a time when two is one too many, and it's time to walk alone. You may remember that old folk song by Woody Guthrie, "There's a road that leads to glory through a valley far away. Nobody else can walk it for you. They can only point the way." You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Nobody here can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. There are times that we have to walk alone, or it seems we do, for we know that we're never truly alone. But so far as human company, we sense their absence. Community is best most times, but there are a few times when we must embrace solitude. I gave you four times we need community. Can I give you four times that solitude is best? First, when the only choice of company is bad company. It's a sad verse. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, and that friend got Amnon into so much trouble and brought so much heartache down on David and his family. If the only choice of company is bad company, then walk alone. We are known by the company we keep. We are influenced by the company we keep. We are tomorrow who our friends are today. As Paul said, evil company corrupts good morals. If you look around and see people surrounding you that are toxic, stay away from them. Walk alone. until God brings the right relationships into your life. The second time solitude is best is when God is trying to speak to you. Jacob found God when he was alone on the muddy banks of the Jabbok. He sent everyone away. Why? Jacob knew, if I'm going to hear from God, I'm going to have to approach him alone. You sometimes have to go find your mountain, your Bethel, your wilderness, your riverbank, your place of solitude. When God wanted to speak to Abraham, Abraham had to step away from a contentious relationship with his nephew Lot. Oh, the many times that God wants to speak to us, the many, many times, but we are so tied up in contentious relationships, we can't hear from him. We need to steal away and pray. I spent many of my early years preaching in rural areas in East Texas and West Louisiana. I wouldn't trade it for anything, for there I met so many people who influenced my life. One story I heard often from those old preachers is that they had a place to pray. For many, it was finding a place in the woods, perhaps a fallen tree, a stump, a place they got alone with God. It was not a song we sang often where I was raised, but traveling through those churches and smaller communities, I heard it. You may remember it. I just steal away somewhere and pray. We find God in solitude. Third, solitude is best when we have been called to do a great work. Five giants were killed by David and his mighty men, but it would be David who started the giant toppling business when he stepped alone into the valley of Elah. For then and then alone, David was required to lean on God. You come to me, giant, with a sword and a spear, but I come in the name of the Lord. We work as teams, we celebrate small groups in church families, but God doesn't call a committee, he calls an individual. And at the heart of every great movement and every great transformation in life is a person who hears the call of God and steps out. Now, others may quickly join them, God confirming his word. But it begins with one who simply says, I will follow you. Fourth, solitude is best when we have sinned. David showed us that when it's time to do a great work, we begin alone. He also shows us when we've sinned, there's a road that we must walk. He told Nathan the prophet, I have sinned. No need to blame Bathsheba. No pointing fingers at someone else. I alone have sinned. All sin is rooted in selfishness, in a failure to put God first. And that's when solitude is best, when you have to face up to that failure that I made self an idol. I put myself in front of God. I don't know why, but those old songs have been on my mind of late. As you travel along the Jericho road, does the world seem all wrong and heavy your load? Just bring it to Christ, your sins confess. On the Jericho road, your heart he will bless. On the Jericho road, there's room for just two, no more and no less, just Jesus and you. Community versus solitude. Four times we stay in community, in times of need, trial, cold times, the heat of battle. Four times we choose solitude, surrounded by bad company, when God's trying to speak to us, when we're called to a great work, or when we have sinned. You need this walk with God. You need this walk with others. Purpose today to get it all back, to get strong friendships and a strong walk with God.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed, 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.